Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joining us live is Michael Cornell, is president of the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association. We're talking about the idea of a vaccination mandate in schools for elementary students, middle school students, high school students, you name it. So, Michael, thanks for being with us. You know, last week we heard the question asked of the governor, and it sounded like from her answer, she didn't directly say yes or no, but that it was certainly something that they're looking to do in the future. This idea of a vaccination mandate for students, what is the thing that pops into your head first when you hear about the idea?
Well, good morning to you both. The first thing that pops into my head is that there are probably two or three things that we need to be talking about in the immediate that impact children and families and the way we operate schools, which we can talk about in a minute. But after that, I mean, if I just look at the timeline, right? So we don't even have a vaccine for the 5 to 11 that even has an emergency authorization. It won't come, you know, sometime next 30, 45 days. You know, full authorization follows 12 to 18 months thereafter. So what are we talking about here? The 23-24 school year before you can, you know, even if someone was of a mind from a public policy perspective and a public health perspective to mandate it for the 5 to 11s, you're a couple of years out before you even have the regulatory authority to do so. So, you know, that kind of full mandate for a COVID-19 vaccine conversation strikes me as a bit off for the future.
All right. You're in touch with parents on a pretty regular basis. Where do you think parents are when it comes to more mandates?
Well, I don't think they're, like I think I've said before, they're not thirsting for more requirements or more restrictions associated with having a child come to school. You've got a lot of pro-vaccination, you know, pro-science families who were not especially hesitant to maybe vaccinate themselves, but have been more hesitant about vaccinating older children, who I think are going to be particularly hesitant when it comes to vaccinating a 6 or a 7-year-old child. And, you know, even if you've got 75% of families who are willing to vaccinate their 8-year-old, you're still going to have, you know, maybe, you know, a significant percentage who are not. So what would the state's plan be for educating those children or providing exceptions? It strikes me as there's a bunch of kind of sticky wickets there for the state to have to work through as they envision any type of a vaccine mandate in schools. And I think what triggered this, too, to some extent, is what they did in California. And even that mandate in California is a mandate with a personal preference opt-out for families. So, you know, it's really much more of an option than a mandate, as I understand it. So, but really what I would, you know, I think is important for us to pay some attention to here in the near term is, you know, the way we're quarantining students if they're considered to be close contacts, and, you know, the requirements for families to get their child back to school if they leave school, if they're symptomatic, and at what point do we get some information from the state that tells us what the data points are for when the restrictions and requirements can be lifted. You know, when we started the school year, we said it's masks for now, not masks forever. And I still believe that to be true. So, you know, when, you know, at what, I don't think we're there now, but at what point do we start to lift some of these mandates?
Well, it's a good question that we are waiting the answers on, right? As everything else, you know, you mentioned maybe 75% of parents who might opt to get their kids vaccinated. That would seem even high to me, Michael. You know, you look at the numbers for 12 to 18, how many kids in that age range have gotten one dose of the vaccine. That's right around 60%, hovering a little over that. I would imagine it would be even lower for the age group that, you know, we're hearing more and more information about how they are less impacted by COVID than even vaccinated adults. There's less of that, you know, big risk of hospitalization from the disease. And, you know, potentially with the vaccination mandate, after all that's been said in the last year of how important it is for kids to be in school, you could potentially be talking about in the same breath of sending half the kids out of school because of this.
Yeah, I mean, we cannot bifurcate public education any more than we already have. So, you know, like I said, I think there'd be an awful lot for the state to have to navigate if someone were to seriously envision a vaccine mandate for school-age children. You know, I just think there's a lot to work through, and it feels to me like a conversation that's maybe a little bit more off in the future than we think. Which is why my focus really turns to the data that I collected last week from school districts in Erie Niagara County quarantined more than 2,000 kids since the beginning of the school year, and fewer than 2% of them ended up testing positive during the quarantine period. So for every 100 kids we quarantine, 98 or 99 of them are home unnecessarily. So we've been advocating to the New York State Department of Health for a test-to-stay program. We've been advocating for the use of an antigen test instead of a PCR test for a student who leaves school or a member of our staff who leaves school with symptoms so that we can get our people back in school. We've had 18 months of interrupted or intermittent school attendance. We've got them back in school every day. And then we sent a bunch of these kids home for 6, 7, 8, 9 days. Many of them unnecessarily. So we're really advocating for the type of policy that they've had around quarantines of close contacts, like Massachusetts and other states are doing, and it seems to be doing quite well. So we've been working hard with the state. We think they're listening, and we're hopeful that we can effectuate some type of change to the way we're quarantining students here in the near term.
Michael, what about local control, being able to make those decisions, you know, on a local basis rather than waiting for the state?
Well, you know, I think it's always been important for us to stay in our lane as school leaders. I think it's important for us to collect data, to advocate for a particular way of doing things. But, I mean, I'm not an expert in quarantining kids or infectious disease. There are people at the New York State Department of Health who, in fact, are. So it'd be helpful for them to advise us in a way that recognizes the conditions on the ground, and, you know, and within the context of successful programs that are operating in nearby states. So it would be helpful for them to advise us in a particular way that lets us do it, and then we'll figure out how to do it. But, you know, we need the green light from a public health perspective from those folks who actually have expertise in that area.
Speaking with Michael Cornell, he's president of the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association. Before we let you go, I'm interested to get an update or anything you might know about the ongoing school bus situation and the shortage of bus drivers. You know, it was the end of last week. We saw politicians talking about the switch to all electric school buses and getting funding for that. And yeah, I'm over here thinking, well, what about who's going to drive those buses? Because aren't we still dealing with one crisis at a time? Where do we stand right now with districts in terms of what you've heard?
You know, I think we're all still operating pretty close to the edge in terms of being able to fully staff all of our runs every day. I know in Hamburg a couple of weeks ago, we had three or four or five bus drivers call out sick, and, you know, it caused us to have to loop a couple of runs. And I think that districts are being creative in terms of recruiting bus drivers, getting them trained quickly, and having contingency plans in place when we don't have all of our runs covered. And really, as I talk to my colleagues, I mean, everyone's been pretty innovative in terms of finding ways to, A, recruit, and B, you know, take care of getting kids to school when we have maybe a couple, three or four drivers, you know, out for one reason or another. But I'll also say this, you know, let's focus on the people who are coming to work every day, the drivers, the men and women who are driving our buses every day, coming to work, sometimes picking up extra runs to do it. So we're grateful for the people who are coming to work. They're great people doing a great job, and we're thankful for them.
That's a good point to call them out. Hey, Michael, glad to have you on with us this morning. Michael Cornell, president of the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.